Good morning, carrying on our daily learning of the Daily Companion of the Chofetz Chaim, adapted based on the Chofetz Chaim, the Zchus Refuah Shleimah of Yosef Ben Chayla, Pesach Shor Chole Yisrael. So we talked a little yesterday about what the Chofetz Chaim said about Rechilas, and before Yanki starts a new section on it when he comes back, thought since we've just come out the 3 weeks and 9 days, just to show the looking down on the whole thing, so we're going to the actual halachas, see the result of Rechilas and see examples. So he brings in Sefer on Chofetz Chaim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much, he kept us distant from the bad midas, which is Lashon Hara and Rechilas, because this can lead to Shvichas Domim Gunarois, and the third one, which escapes my mind at the moment. What's the third one? Can't remember. Right, then he says as follows. So we look at Rechilas, see the sort of things it's done. So, with the Nochosh, when it told Chavo to eat from the Eitz Hadas, what did Nochosh say? Nochosh says, Kodesh Baruch Hu, she'amin ha'ilon hazeh ochel boras olam. From this tree, Kodesh Baruch Hu ate the fruit and created the world. And that led to all the problems that led to. First of all, the Nochosh came. And Hitel Bozuamo put impurity in her, that's already Gilar Arroyas. Death came to the world, that's Shvichas Dom, etc., etc. So all these things, all because of Rechilas. Why do we go down to Mitzrayim? Because of Yosef, he did Boro, he reported Boro, so he was sold as a result. Even though he was right to say something, nevertheless, he went down. The Golos are in now because of the Chetam Raglim. Chetam Raglim because of Lashon Hara. Coming on to actual Rechilas, it mentions that case with Doeg. Doeg told Shaul that the city of Noiv had helped David, and Shaul was so upset he wiped out the whole of Noiv. So you can see that from Rechilas, there was a case of Rechilas specifically, that called Shvichas Domim, and he brings another example at the times of Yanai HaMelech, who was one of the Chashmonai kings, who was a brother-in-law of Shem ben Shetach. He came back from war, and it was said to him that the Chachomim have rejected him. Why have they rejected him, even though he's a Kohen? Because his mother was taken captive and she might have been violated, so Yanai wasn't a proper Kohen. And because he accepted that Rechilas, he wiped out all the Talmidei Chachomim. And finally, because we just had Tisha B'Av and we got Tu B'Av coming up with Beit Ha as well, the same thing. The whole problem started. Because you had Reb Elozer ben Madoy, the uncle of Bar Kochba, who was protecting the whole of Beitar. Somebody whispered in his ear something, as Kusi whispered in his ear. Because of that, one thing led to the next, and Bar Kochba killed his uncle. So what the Kuti did was, or not what the Kuti did, the Kuti whispered something, and people reported back to Bar Kuziba what happened. That's Rechilas, and etc., etc. One thing led to another. So just the Chofetz Chaim focusing on what, not the minutiae of the halachas we learn every day, but an overall looking down what Rechilas can lead to. Mr. Shem Yanki will be back in 3 weeks' time.
Oh, great. Well, start your day at the Torahway, Northwest London. Friday, Yud Beis of 16th of August, Rabbi Eli Siegel Schlitter, Lo Yelachot Elohim Achirim. This week's Torah has been sponsored. Lin Zeh Kadeshmas, Chaim Yosef Ben Rabbi Socha Dov Zichron Lebracha, is Yosef Ben Moran Ben Ashmoyim Achayim Ben Shachon Rotem Ben Shalom Ben Meiro.
Good morning. I think a couple of years ago I spoke here Parshas Vayeschanan and spoke about Anochi Hashem Lekecha. So this year I'd like to move on to Avodah Zarah, which doesn't sound so good, but so we'll discuss the next of the Aseres Hadibros, Lo Yeh Lecha Lehim Acherim Al Ponoi, and I'd like to explain or show a pshat, an unbelievable pshat from the Sephorna, albeit that the Sephorna is in Parshas Yisroi, but nonetheless, we will explain this Sephorna. But in order to do so, I'd like to begin with a Rambam. Yeah, lo yelachol him achem, dealing with the issa of avodah zarah. So the question is, how did avodah zarah, the whole concept of avodah zarah, come to be? It seems very strange that suddenly one day somebody woke up and decided, you know, let's fashion this idol and bow down to it, and this is a god, and we're going to worship this. And if you think about it, I mean, the Torah tells us, "Oz huchal nikre b'shem Hashem," in the time of Enosh, that's when Avodah Zarah came to be. Now you had Enosh was just three generations for Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon was the Yetzir Kapo of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He'd seen sort of the world as it'd been created. He'd spoken to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He must have passed that down to his children. And all of a sudden, in the time of Enosh, already they're serving Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam famously says, in the beginning of Hilchas Avodah Zarah, he says that obviously it didn't start from one day to the next, they decided to serve Avodah Zarah. Like many things which have had drastic consequences, start with mistakes. And sometimes there's a slight veer from the path, and further down the line it leads to terrible consequences. So the Rambam says as follows, it started with a toss, a mistake. And the Rambam begins Hilchas Avodah Zarah. He says, "Bimei Enosh, in the days of Enosh, Taos, they made a mistake." He calls it actually a Taos Gedolah, a big mistake. What was the mistake? So he says that they felt that Avada, they believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't Pshat one day they woke up and says, "There's no such thing as a Rebbeinu." They believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they believed that the way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, seeing as HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed certain koichovim, stars, spheres, planets, and things in the world to serve the world as his sort of servants, to minister and serve the world, his shamoshim, the Rambam calls. So a way to serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is being mechabed, his shamoshim, his ministers. Yeah, as he says, a melech who gives kovod to certain ministers, officers, and so on. So he wants his subjects to give kovod to his ministers. And by doing so, that is, in a way, showing kovod to the melech and accepting the authority of the melech. And therefore, they felt that that's the Ratzon Hashem, and the way to approach and to serve HaKadosh Baruch is by a way of serving his ministers, namely the stars and other spheres. But, as the Rambam says, with the passage of time, they started forgetting about the Shoresh, the source, that there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and they started according powers to the stars themselves. Until he says they built temples, they built like temples and things, and he started serving the Avodah Zarah. And as the Rambam goes on to say, eventually the whole Bria, Kamat, the whole Bria, were all totally... There was no belief in HaKadosh Baruch until Avraham Avinu came onto the scene. Maybe just to slip in here, just a pshat, a wonderful pshat, based on this Rambam. Yeah, that's not really the right time of year, but I challenge you to remember it when it comes to Pesach and Seder night. Yeah? So it's a nice spot for Seder night. Maybe it is Shaykh, as we know, just had Tisha B'Av, Atbash, and the first night Pesach, Tisha B'Av. But the Rambam, in the Haggadah, we say Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hoya Aviseinu, as the Mishnah says, Maschil Bignus Umesayim Bishvach. That we have to discuss. We have to begin not only to discuss Yetzias Mitzrayim, but we have to go from the very beginning to where it all began, the low points, and then say what we went through and how we came out of Mitzrayim. And we speak not only about the physical shibud that we went to in Mitzrayim, but also the spiritual shibud, as there was a spiritual shibud in Mitzrayim. So we speak about how our avos were ovdei avodah zarah. As we know, they reached the memtes shari tuma. But the question is, when we're discussing the avodah zarah, what do we say? is that there was Me'olam Terach, your forefathers Terach, Me'eva Arno, served Avodah Zorah. So, Frek Reb David Cohen Shliter, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, yes, we're talking about Avodah Zorah, but why speak about the Avodah Zorah of Terach? This is years ago. We should speak about the Avodah Zorah in Mitzrayim. That's really what we were discussing. So he says, based on this Rambam, that the Rambam says that in discussing the whole progression and development of Avodah Zorah, so the Rambam says that the whole world were over Avodah Zorah till Avraham Avinu came onto the scene. And Avraham Avinu not only discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Avraham Avinu, you could say, was perhaps the first seed program. He went and he publicized and let everybody know that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and told the whole world about it, and that Esan Nefesh Asher Osu B'choron, Avraham Avinu developed and gathered a whole following who believed in monotheism, believed in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he passed it on to his children, to the Yitzchak, to Yaakov, until, says the Rambam, there was now a believing Ummah, a nation which believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then they went down to Mitzrayim. And says the Rambam, that due to the Shibud in Mitzrayim, what the Shibud did was, he says, that it removed or stopped them and took away their belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They started being over the Avodah Zorah in Mitzrayim. And he says, to the point that Kimat Kot, he says, that's a Losh Rambam, Kimat, there was a millimeter away from them forgetting Ha'ika Asher Shosal Avraham Avinu, that everything that Avraham Avinu had instilled in the Bria and passed down to his generations, that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, to eradicate the prevailing Avodah Zorah which was in the world, through the Shibud Mitzrayim, that was almost completely undone and overturned. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but through the Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's what we gained, that we were able to get back that what Avraham Avinu gave to us, that there was now and again an Ummah of Klal Yisrael who believed in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So therefore, says Rav David Cohen, that's why when we're talking about B'tchila Ovid Avodah Zorah Hoyo Aviseinu, and we're speaking about the Avodah Zorah Mitzrayim, we have to realize what we're talking about. We were almost back to the Avodah Zorah of Terach before Avraham Avinu came back onto the scene. That's what Mitzrayim was all about. Uprooting everything Avraham Avinu had brought into this world. And that's why we discuss it always in return.
If it was Avraham who reintroduced believing, what about Shem and Abel?
No, the Rambam says, he says there were a few Yechidim along the line. He says there were, he says Shem, Chanoich, Mitzvah, but they perhaps weren't ones going out there and teaching the masses about it. So anyway, that's how the Rambam explains the Indian of how Avodah Zorah developed. The mistake of the Me'enish was that they believed Migdula so Eved, Nika Gedula so Rav, through giving cover to the Eved, that gives cover to the Rav. So in fact, that if you go to Horse Guards Parade or wherever it is, and you see the Royal Guard there, so perhaps those people who try to make the guards laugh, it's an affront to the king, because it's perhaps wrong. It's not cover the mouth, because the whole idea is by giving cover to the soldiers and the royal guard, that is a cover to the king or the monarch. So the question is, now, it seems what they did, it made sense and logical. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, so what was the mistake? Which the Rambam calls a Toras Gadol, where did they go wrong? So, Reb Chaim Volozhin says, the mistake was as follows, that you're right, it's absolutely true to say that by giving cover to the minister, the soldier, the officer of the king, by doing so you're thereby giving cover to the melech. But let's look at the following scenario. Imagine somebody's called to an audience with the king, and you come into the throne room, and the king is sitting on his throne there, and he's got a royal guard next to him, and you come into the king, and as you just come right in front of the king, you bow down to the guard, and to the guard in front of the king. If somebody would do that, then that's it, off with your head. That it's very nice that you give cover to the ministers of the king, but not when you're in front of the king. Yeah, that's when the king's not there, but in front of the king, you don't give cover to anyone else other than the king. So he says their mistake was that they didn't recognize and they didn't realize that Meloi Chol Ha'aretz Kavoidoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only Bashamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Batachtoinim, Ba'aretz. Yeah, we say in Hallel, the first parak of Hallel, Rom Al Kol Goyim Hashem, Al Hashamayim Kavoidoi. The Malbim explains that Rom Al Kol Goyim Hashem, by the Umos Ha'orim, the Goyim, perhaps they believe there's a Rabbeinu Shloinim, but the Rabbeinu Shloinim is Rom, it's a lofty a power which is, you know, way above. It's Al Hashamayim Kavoidoi. Yeah, but not down here. But we say, Mi Kashem Elokeinu, who's our Kashem Elokeinu, our God, Hamagbi Lashoes, Hamashvili Lirois, Bashamayim, Uva Oretz. Our Kodesh Baruch is as much Batachtoinim, and therefore, their mistake was they didn't realize that wherever we are, we're in front of the king. We're in front of the Rabbeinu Shlom. And in front of the king, you don't give kovod to the minister. So that was a mistake. So by giving kovod to the stars, whatever it was, yes, their intention maybe was perhaps pure, that's the way we're serving our Kodesh Baruch Hu, but it was totally wrong. Because it shows you totally misunderstand who the Rabbeinu Shlom is, what the Rabbeinu Shlom is. The Rabbeinu Shlom is here in front of us, Meloi Chol Ha'aretz Kavoidoi, governing what's going on in this world. And in front of the Rabbeinu Shalom, we don't give a cold cover to anyone else other than the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that was a mistake. And this is what Reb Chaim Volozhin says. And as I say, if you look in the Sephorna, in Parshas Yisroi, you see a few words of the Sephorna, and I think the Sephorna is mamish, I mean, saying this idea. The Sforna says on the following words, Lo yeh lecho lehim acherim. So he says, and perhaps explaining it as a follow-on from Anoich Hashem Lekecho. That means, Anoich Hashem Lekecho is the first of Aseret HaDibros, which means accept and believe there's a Rabbeinu Shalom. So once you've done that, so what is Lo yeh lecho lehim acherim? Okay, it's pashtus, okay, it's a love, you know, believe there's a mitzvah ase and a love not to serve Avodah Zorah. But he says like this, Afal pishete kablu malchusi. Even though you're makabel ma malchus, perhaps Anoich Hashem lekecho, you accept and you believe there's a Rabbeinu Shalom, and you're makabel and you accept my authority, my sovereignty. Loi savoid zulosi, don't serve anyone other than me. Ka'oved le'eved hamelech, like serving the eved of a king. So lo yelocho lehim achem. This is exactly what the Sforno says. The Torah is telling us. Don't, even if you believe in the Rabbeinu Shalom, but don't serve any other force or whatever, a power or being, other than the Rabbeinu Shalom, even if it's in a manner of Oved Le'Evet HaMelech, serving the Evet HaMelech. Don't do that. And then he carries on. You know why? Al Ponoi. Because it's before me. She'ein Cholkin Kovid La'Avodim B'Mokem Ha'Odoim. Because you don't give kovod to avodim when the odin is there. Va'ani b'chol mokem, aloifenech b'shove, I'm everywhere. So it's mamish, this Sforna, Ruchayim Volozhin, the Sforna says it and teaches it. That's teish, lo yeh lecho lehim acherim. Don't have or serve other gods, even in a manner of serving them as a way of serving the Rabbeinu Shalom, because you're giving kovod to the Rabbeinu Shalom's ministers, shamoshim. You know why not? Because al ponoi. Because wherever it is, it's in front of me. And in front of the king, you don't give covered to others.
We do find,
Baruch HaTo Hashem.
Yeah, I know. But we are blessing the trees, the mountains.
We're not blessing the trees. We're blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating these things. So, yeah, but we're not bowing down to the trees and the yam and saying,
why do we need to do that? Because if the Rabbeinu Shalom is everywhere, so why not pick one item?
Because they're grateful and thankful.
That's a gadlus habori, the bria. You have to from the bria, it says we have to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you see the gadlus habori. It's all part of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not giving cover to them. So now there's a very interesting Ben Ish Chai. The Gemara says in Brachas in Daf Lamed Gimel on the base that. The Gemara says the Hanuhu de Nochis Kameder of Chanina. The Gemara says there was someone who went Nochis, means Pashas, he meant it like we have always, Yored Lifnei HaTeva, yeah, the expression to go down. Yeah, some shuls, whether it's in your Mimamakim, some shuls you go down, there's a step down. Perhaps the monks, the whole shul goes down towards the Abed. Yeah, that Sahuda Nochis Kameda Rav Chanina. There was someone who went down Pashas to daven for the Abed in front of Rav Chanina, and he started davening Shmoyna Esra, Hokeil, Hagodol, Hagiboy, Vahanoira, and Ha'adir, Ha'ozuz, Yoru, and etc. A whole string of extra titles to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he stopped, eventually. So Rebbe Chanina said to him, Siyamtinu l'kula shrocha d'moroch, yeah, you finished, that's all. I mean, you can't say any more. In other words, what Rebbe Chanina was saying is that by trying to add, in fact, you're detracting. Why? Because why are you trying to add? Presumably because you feel that to say just how can you give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Just okay, la God, la Gibor, la Lord, that's it. Yeah? That's not enough. So I have to say more. But in other words, eventually you're gonna have to stop at some point. So You at any point, at any given point, you're going to stop. So you're still limiting the Shrach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So don't try and be clever, he said to him. Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah said, okay, HaGadol HaGibor HaNoira. So suffice it with that, and don't try and be better than that. So the Ben Ish Chai, in Parshas Kisovoy, on the Pasuk, is Hashem Hamauto, Hashem Hamirko Lius L'chol Elikim. So he says a Taich. He says a very interesting thing. He says, how is it possible, as we're asking, so Lamaisa, how can we give Shrach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How is it possible to actually praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu if in fact, you know, we can never say enough? And whatever we say is never going to be enough. So he says a very interesting thing, which is, he says a certain concept which perhaps to apply to the Rabbeinu Shem is difficult. Maybe it's borrowing a phrase, but it's not to be understood in the normal meaning. But he says basically that miktsas shvachoi befonov, which means we've got a concept that shloi befonov. Yeah, you can praise somebody, you can say the full shvach befonov, and miktsas shvachoi befonov. But in front of a person, you don't give the full praise. Now, normally this is understood to mean that to a person, to his face in front of him, you don't praise him all his praise because maybe he'll get a bit arrogant and a big-headed. Obviously, that concept doesn't apply to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. But he's taking that concept of mitzvah shrochet b'fonov. And he says that, therefore, the reason why we can praise the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because b'fonov, we can praise. Because itak, it's only mitzvah. But mitzvah shrochet b'fonov, in front of somebody or in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can praise because all be a mitzvah, because when you're in front, you can give a mitzvah shvach. But
by a melech also?
What?
In front of a melech only mitzvah?
I don't know. But okay. But that's what he says. He says, but the mindset goes much deeper than that. The idea is that faket, from the very fact that we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the biggest praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because by praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're acknowledging that we're able to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he's befoneinu. That means the very fact that we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an acknowledgement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in front of us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ba'oretz. Because otherwise we wouldn't be able to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you can't say, how can you say all the praise? So the praise itself, the very fact that we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that alone is a shows and demonstrates and acknowledges that we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ba'aretz and Befoneinu. And therefore he says, Es Hashem Hemarto, he says, that the Umos HaOlam, perhaps, on the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, as you're saying, how did they get to Avodah Zarah? By saying we can't praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the way we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by praising the sun, the moon, and so on, and serving them. So he says, no. Es Hashem Hemarto. Yeah, you can praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because you understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's here, and you can't praise. And therefore, liyos lechol elokim. Unlike the goyim lo yeh lechol lehim achayim, that they serve other gods because they say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not here and is not b'tachtonim, and therefore we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu by praising his subjects. But says the Ben Ishchai, but no, we can praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu because by praising HaKadosh Baruch, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is batachtoinim, and therefore befonov is mixa shlochi befonov, and therefore the praise itself is the fact that we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the biggest acknowledgement that we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is batachtoinim, and that's liyos lecha lelokim. That means that we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our God, lecha meaning personally here in this world for us. There's a story which I saw this week. It was a beautiful story, but just perhaps to the idea of understanding and appreciating that Rabbi Yisrael is here and Rabbi Yisrael governs everything in this world. There's a story is told that there was a village or a town right next to the town of Sochachov, and there was great excitement in this town or village, because the Avnei Nezer, the Heilige Avnei Nezer, was due to come to that town and make a rare appearance to be a sundik at a bris. And why was this the case? So there was Fishel the tailor, who was married for 15 years and didn't have children, and he davened and he went to this Rebbe and that Rebbe for this brach and that brach and this skula. But Baruch Hashem, after 15 years, he was zeichah to a child, a son. And he went to, and he decided he was going to ask the Avnei Nezer if he'll come from Sochachov, neighboring Sochachov, to come to be the sandik. And people said to him, ach, you know, the Avnei Nezer is not going to come. He was quite, at that age, he was quite advanced. He was quite old, and he wasn't going out much. And as well, this person wasn't a particular, he wasn't a chassid of the Avnei Nezer. Some, you know, a random fellow just knocking on his door, you know, would you mind to be sounded? And everybody was surprised when the Avnei Nezer agreed. And Avnei Nezer, so, and the whole town was, you know, such excitement. And the next day, the children were all dressed in their Shabbos clothes, lining the streets with their flags to welcome the God, the tzaddik, the Avnei Nezer. And he came to the town. He was there for a short while. He was a sandik. And everybody greeted him, and I don't know if he left or some. At one point, so they approached. Somebody asked the Avnei Nezer, why was it? You know, some people think maybe this official is, it must be a hidden tzaddik. He's a lamed vavnik. We don't know about. And some other things, you know. No, he said to him, I'll tell you why. He says, this yid comes knocking on my door, and he says to me, you know, Rebbe, I've been married for 15 years, and I was zeicher to. And after 15 years, the Rabbeinu Shalom gave me a child. He said, so many people will come and they'll say, you know, I got a bracha from this Rebbe, I did this skula, and I did that skula. He came to me and he said, the Rabbeinu Shalom gave me a child. He said that was such a munah pshuta that he attributed it totally to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And there's such a kiddush shem shemayim, I felt for that I had to come and be a sandik at the bris. But that's the idea of recognizing that the Rabbeinu Shalom is there, batachtoinim, here, lefonenu, and governing everything, and that's who we turn to, and that's who answers our tefillot. I see I've got 5 minutes left, is that correct? Say one other, something different, just move over to something else, but another idea on this parasha. There's a taich, a beautiful taich from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, on another, you know, beautiful pasuk in this week's parasha, Va'atem Advekim Bashem Elokeichem Chaim Kulchem Hayoim. And he says, sorry, I've taken something away. I'll say something else.
No.
Pardon? Pardon? No. But I don't know. See, okay. Why you, he says like this. He says that the Rambam says there are certain halachas in mechikas Hashem. Yeah, in rubbing out, you're not allowed to rub out certain shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the proper certain actual names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the question is, I mean, it's a Gemara and Shavuos, a machlokes in the Gemara and Shavuos, if you've got prefixes or suffixes of Hashem Hashem, what is their status? What's the status? So you can have, you know, Lashem, Bashem, or you should have Elokeinu, Elokeichem. So we paskin, the halacha is that a prefix you can rub out, but a suffix you cannot rub out. Because a suffix, that means somebody which comes after the Shem Hashem, is the Isa Mechikas Hashem, because the Gemara says Lashem that the Shem was Mekadoshit. That means it comes after the name, yeah? So it gets Kedusha from the name. And so Erechaim HaKadosh says that it says Va'atem Advekim Hashem Elokeichem. That means we're dovek to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But the question is, well, what's Vashem Elokeichem? I'll tell you, Vashem, why do we have to have Elokeichem? So he says, in what way are we connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What type of connection is it? Is it like a prefix or a suffix? That means a prefix is connected to Hashem, the Shem Hashem, but it doesn't have its own Kedusha. You can rub it out. A suffix which comes after Shem Hashem does have Kedusha, and you can't rub it out. So he says, if you take the Shem Hashem, the word Yudke Vovke does not take a suffix. There's no such thing. Yeah? There's no, you won't, you can't, it's not Shaykh, we don't find the Shem Hashem with anything coming after it. Yudke Vovke only takes prefixes. Bashem, Me'ashem, Lashem, Kashem. Yeah? Whereas the word Elokeinu, Elokim, takes prefixes and it takes suffixes. Yeah? Elokeinu, Elokeichem, Elokeim, etc. So he says, Va'atem Advekim Bashem. Yeah, but you should know, your dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but what type of dovuk? Elokeichem. The dovuk of Elokeichem, which means, like Elokeichem, which takes suffixes. And those suffixes get the Kedusha of the Shem Hashem. And they can't be rubbed out. So our keshe, our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not simply just we're attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're like a suffix of Elokeichem, where we get Kedusha by being attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Kenzai in the Vort is, what's the difference between a prefix and a suffix? Because if you feel that you can have something before the Shem Hashem, then there's no Kedusha. That means you can't have anything before Hashem. You only get Kedusha if you put Hashem first, and you realize, once I've got Hashem, then I come afterwards. But don't place yourself thinking, it's shaykh for me to be there before the Shem Hashem. But also, what's interesting is, there's a tshuva of the Noida Bihuda, who says like this, a shayla like this, what happens if somebody, instead of the shayla was, somebody wrote, I think, Elokeichem, instead of Elokeichem, in the Sefer Torah. So the shayla was, okay, you can't rub it out, but the question is, can you peel it off, just the chof mem, yeah, which some opinions hold that a shame, an actual shame, though you can't be moichek, you can't rub it out, but you can scrape it off, or peel it off, you get koilev. So he says, can you take the peel off the chem and then rub instead the hem? So the Noida Bihuda wants to say you can't. He says, why not? Because Bishlem, if you peel off the shem Hashem, so you haven't done anything to that shem because it's got Kedusha, and you've peeled the whole shem off and it's still got the Kedusha, wherever it is. But chem on its own is nothing. It's only got Kedusha when it was attached as a suffix, but if you're going to take it off, it's lost its Kedusha. So therefore he says you shouldn't do it. So Al-Kaponim, we see a further thing. Yes, that a suffix gets Kedusha. And as the Orech Chaim HaKadosh says, our Kedusha is by being connected to Kedusha. We have Kedusha. As we said, but first you have to put the Rebbeinu Shel Olam first. But at the same time, it's only as long as we're connected to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. If we lose that connection, then that Kedusha goes away. If you take the Chem away, it doesn't have Kedusha. So we should be Zoicha, to be dovek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should zoche to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives before Neinu, and as well, we should be zoche to talk this parasha Shabbos Nachmu to the Nechama and Yeshua for Klal Yisroel. Stay it.
Hast du ja Gudel, ihr laut mir den Bobschem, in so Chushewe, eidele, behaltene Margit Schiff und zu der Reb Eli, because I want to be mit keinem der Mixes Schwuche, because believe me, der jinge Tita, der Seifer Schwuche, nobody's Macke, because he covers himself, and he is a behaltene Jid, aber er ist gu, a Chushewe Mensch. So therefore, keinem sein, keiner gut, er gibt mir, er ist kein, es jammt eine Schwuche daheim, sicher nicht. Es ist only ein mixes Schwuche, which we say gebaut hier. But on the same, we have the Indian like by Bruches also that you also you continue from where you left off. So Susanna, it should be associated with the previous Bruche. He said, "Where Atem Matvayke Hashem Elakachem Chaim Kirchem Ayoyim." I heard the following Heure that the in Krishme there are essentially 248 words. And there's a reason for that, because Ramach Evurim are the limbs of a person are 248, and each word of Krishma invigorates and actually brings life to those limbs. And every time one says Krishma, you're machaya yourself by saying those words, which if sort of permeate themselves into every single one of the 248 limbs of the person. There's only one problem with all this. When you count them, you only find 247. Ah, therefore, we know why we add one word to it. At the end of Krishma, you say Emes. You know, there's a quip about that. When was the time that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say the truth? Because Moshe Rabbeinu said Hashem Elokeichem. In the Torah, it says there, but it doesn't say emes. So he left out emes. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, but didn't say the word emes. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. We're always used to saying it. But the reason we say the emes at the end is because we are mashlim the 247 to 248 with that one word. And consequently, that works very beautifully with the pusik that we've got here in the beginning of the Seder. Because va'atem, the word atem, is the same letters as emes. Hadvaikem, when you attach it, the word emes, to Hashem Elokeichem, va'atem hadvaikem b'Hashem Elokeichem, if you attach the word of emes to Hashem Elokeichem at the end, consequently, chayim kilchem hayoim, all remach Ivarim, where the person become permeated and invigorated through the koyach of Krishma. This is nice. Huh? So now, that's the end of. He's not here. So there's a famous photo from the closing by Geruf. He says very beautifully. The mass is, Yidin Gesinterheit go on vacation now, holidays. It's a period where they. Koyach to go into the human room, because around the corner will soon be benching Rosh Chodesh Elul. A certain chassidim, they used to say the buchim of nisht gezindik, they didn't do a virus, so they give them summer holidays, they should be able to clock up, they have to do tshiva on an Elul. But this is definitely not the case, chas v'shul. But the masa is the koyach of tshiva is such that there are 51 days which start from Rosh Chodesh El right up until after Shana Rabbah. Communion, Nu. Nu is Nun Aleph. In this week's Seder, you've got the Ebru Nu, Ve'eres Uretz HaToivu. But there's another cup, many times the word Nu appears in the Torah, but the Klosenberg Ruf associated specifically with another one which was Slach Nu. And to give an example which would be perhaps suitable for 2024, that if you have this proverbial businessman, well-to-do man, and the good old Englishman comes towards Rosh Hashanah, so he's gone for his pre-holiday in St. Moritz, then afterwards he took his cruise, and the cruise went all the way around to Australia, came back just in time for Rosh Hashanah. He comes off with his glorious golden tan, and he's had a great time, walks into the office, Rosh Hashanah, calls his secretary, Ethel, comes into the room, take out the Jewish calendar, let's see. How badly have we been messed up with the dates this year? When does Rosh Hashanah come? So she says, it was actually in the middle of the week. Yeah, I thought so. So we're not going to get today's work done, are we? Oh well, so be it. And he takes his chauffeur, James, and they go by Holler and the apple, go to Marks and Spencer, the finest Rosie, you know, the apple and the honey. And he goes into shul and he knows all the songs and he sings with the chazan and everything else. And then comes Yom Kippur and he does his solachti. He knows the song perfectly. By the time he's finished the whiskey trail on Shana Rabbe, then he just about makes it in the street way back to his house. And now, after good night's sleep, he's ready to face the world. Walks into the office the next day. Ethel, come in. Comes to the red room. Can we get a decent week's work done finally once and for all now? Is it straight now? Yes, sir, your diary is full. So best. Okay. Such deilige Klosenberger Ruf. Ebrunu and Slachnu. You've got 51 days. You've got two choices how to approach it. Either it's going to be Ebrunu, which means Ibehippen. Let's fly through that month of Elul, never mind the Iri Yeshayne Mishnasrem, the Shofar bluest, and Ich bin Toib. And the Chazan screaming is Gadol, and I'm going on in the middle of sitting in the Bahamas, and I'm completely oblivious. And then comes Rosh Hashanah, and it's Ebrunu, let's get this over with, let's get day's work done, we want to see a straight week, and then comes finally the week of Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah is over, and we can go back to a normal schedule. Then there is no Slachnu. If you want to have Slachnu, which is the 51 days, which is filled with forgiveness and intimacy with the Rebbein Shlom, a time of closeness, a month which is the month of Tishri and Cheshvan, and Avihaistis, the month of Tishri and the month of El preceding it, so there's no either or. It's if you want Slachnu, there's no Ebrunu. And if you want Ebrunu, you just want to imitzehippen the whole thing, those 51 days, then there's no Slachnu. Wünsching alle a gute vacation in a feines Matur. And we're out.
Ring it, we'll be back, we'll have no more.